Welcome, first-time listeners and returners, to the Sports Deli, where everyone deserves a seat at the table. What about f***ing Colin? Why does he not have a f***ing job? Because he's still being whiteballed. Why is Tom not speaking out about that? He should be his biggest f***ing ally, and he hasn't said one f***ing thing. A lot of people that have come on this show, I don't know why, they've gotten some good f***ing jobs afterwards. Jim Rome in the jungle. It's right here in the Sports Deli, baby. We got some good ass karma right here. Let's fucking go.
I love it.
We hope you enjoy today's show, everyone.
All right, here we go. Let's rock and roll, everybody. We're so honored to welcome as our last guest of season 3 of the Sports Deli podcast, the first ever Associate Athletic Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at the University of Colorado, the pride of St. Louis, Missouri, and Hazelwood East High School, DeJuan B. Baker. Baker joined the Colorado staff from the University of Nebraska, where he had served in a similar role as the Huskers' Diversity and Inclusion Director. In August of 2019, Baker co-founded the Diversity, Inclusion, and Equity Council of Excellence. I think you pronounce it DICE. Is that correct?
That's correct.
A membership organization that provides support and resources for diversity officers who work in athletics. He's also an advisory board member for Return on Inclusion, ROI, R-O-I, and an advisory committee member for the Winning Edge Leadership Committee. DeJuan earned his bachelor's degree from the University of Missouri, where he also participated in track and field in the long jump. And we've had a number of Olympians on our show in the sport of track and field. His passion for diversity, equity, and inclusion started while he was attending Missouri, and it was the tragic death of Michael Brown nearby his hometown of St. Louis, an event that drew national attention. That prompted his initial interest. He earned his master's degree in business administration and a master in sport business management from the University of Central Florida in 2016, where he had ties to Dr. Richard Labchick, and he was a research assistant for Tides. And I can't wait to talk to him about that, because Richard Labchick is one of the most influential persons in the history of sports. And we also had Dr. Labchick on our show. If you haven't heard that podcast before, it was phenomenal. Yeah. After he earned his graduate degrees, he worked for the NCAA as a postgraduate intern in the leadership development department. And he is also an accomplished writer, as he spent 3 years as a contributing writer in frontofficesports.com. His hobbies include podcasts like ours. Just kidding. I don't know if he actually likes our podcast. We'll find out at the end of the show, along with playing pickup ball and flag football. I'm sure Deion Sanders is liking that action. He's passionate about advocating for social change and is currently looking for an adjunct teaching position. So if anyone knows of any opportunities in the space of DEI, please let me know or reach out to DeJuan directly. You can find him on Twitter at DeJuan B. Baker, where he has his wallpaper as a picture of the 1968 Olympics that you see here for those of you watching. Of Tommy Smith and John Carlos, who are silently protesting, along with Australian Peter Norman, who doesn't get enough credit. And as a side note, we've also had two members of that 1968 track and field team on our podcast, Mel Pender and Lou Scott.
Gotcha.
D-Money, man. Hey, like I said, truly an honor. You're taking time out during your holiday break with your family to join us here on the Sports Deli podcast. And I mean it right here. Truly an honor to have you here. Anyone tied to Dr. Richard Labchick is welcome here anytime as a guest or as a co-host, man. Welcome to Sports Deli.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
What was it like growing up? I went through St. Louis one time on a Greyhound. I drove cross country, and I met some like really interesting people that we picked up in St. Louis as I was going from Baltimore back to San Diego. I've had a couple guests on from St. Louis, and one of the things that someone shared with me, an NBA player, because I asked him about music and how music basically took him around the world because he wasn't able to travel. But, you know, did that music do that for you? Was that something where you like it resonated with you and you just could find a way to travel the world through music?
I guess from a cultural perspective, I would agree with that. You could definitely understand and feel different parts of the world and different cultural aspects just based on where the music is from and where the artist is from and how they kind of tie it into it, right? And so I definitely think it plays a role. It can definitely give you a really, really good view of kind of what the world looks like in different parts too, just based on, again, where you're kind of listening from and where the artist is from and how they kind of incorporate that into the music that they make too.
It's interesting. So I'm always curious about people's upbringings because, you know, we've had Jay Billis on here and I just posted another video with him on the show talking about how scarring his childhood was as far as his basketball experience in high school. And the coach didn't intentionally do it, but he just was in over his head kind of thing. And I've had other guests on from Bill Curry, who played in the NFL and coached for a long time at the college level, yep. You know, as well as Doug Williams and Jim Herrick. And those guys in particular talked about how when it wasn't popular in the 60s, obviously, in the civil rights movement, they would go into each other's neighborhoods, into black and white neighborhoods. If, you know, the blacks wanted to play ball, they'd go into the white neighborhoods and the whites would go into the black neighborhoods. And even though, you know, segregation was a thing, no one really said anything. They just wanted to play sports, and sports has always been sort of that vehicle, you know, as you know. And track and field is very eclectic. Track and field is very different than probably most sports. So what was it like, you know, growing up in St. Louis, which, you know, like Baltimore, like Detroit, where I'm from, you know, it has its, you know, troubling area, Chicago. Yep. You know, what was it like there? And what did you learn about yourself from there to help you be a better version of yourself day in and day out?
It's very interesting because, of course, as you get older, you start to kind of reflect back on things and how they used to be and things that you didn't notice younger that you'll notice now. But I had a really good upbringing, but I didn't really recognize how segregated even my own family was and where we grew up was until you start to get a little older and you start going to, you know, basketball tournaments or track meets or football games, and you start seeing the subtle differences, right? So even things like coming into high school of like, oh, you know, we didn't have turf or lights in our field. And when we got to go play a Friday night game, that was a big deal, right? Of like, panel of the lights under this turf, and you know it's 45 minutes outside of where we live, and it feels like, you know, this very different thing. And it's like, well, you know, this part of that is a reason, just as far as how the city is set up, how things are separated, and how things have really come to be from a historical context. But from my upbringing,
did that piss you off, or were you just sort of going with the flow and you were just excited to be a part of, you know, team sports and sport in general?
It was both for sure. You're excited because you don't get the opportunity much, but then you start to think, well, why don't we have lights and why don't we have turf fields, right? So, you know, it's something that you kind of take with a grain of salt, but you just try to show out when you got the opportunity, and that's what we tried to do. Anytime that we were able to kind of travel to play in some of those venues or play some of those teams that we knew, again, that we weren't going to see very often. So we just tried our best to try to seize the moment. But definitely, again, kind of ticks you off a little bit because it's like, man, we're good. We can have turf fights, right? So, but upbringing-wise, man, definitely had a good family system. Grew up in North County, St. Louis, a little bit of North City, St. Louis, too, just depending on kind of where you caught me. But I really... What's funny is like a lot of people kind of coming up, especially athletes coming up, thought I was going to go to a private school. And it's funny, I was telling my wife and my intern about this the other day, of like just fast forwarding back to eighth grade and thinking 3 months before high school starts, I thought I was going to Chaminade High School, which is where Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, mm-hmm. That's where I thought I was going to school to go play sports and get education, all those good things. And spent the whole summer going to camps, meeting the coaches. I spent the day there to kind of learn the school and kind of go through schedules and all that. And about a month and a half before classes start, we get the financial aid statement, if you will. And my mom's like, nah, like I can't, we can't afford that. We got to find somewhere else. Right. And at the time, my mom was kind of transitioning between living in different places. And so I'm like, well, address isn't stable enough to go where I originally would have went. And so she's like, well, you know, I called my sister, and she called her sister, my aunt, and was like, hey, can DeJuan move in so he can go to high school with his cousin at Hazelwood East? And she was like, yeah, of course. And so we moved me into my aunt's house in a matter of like 2 weeks and rolled and started about a week late because we had to kind of get everything to show. But I ended up in a public school, and I actually think that was probably one of the better things that's happened to me, just to kind of get to know people, learn people, and understand kind of where I grew up to. Sport wise, it probably could have been a little different if I went to a private school and kind of had the access to the resource and all that good things. But I think I turned out pretty well. So I'm not too bitter about it. And definitely, like I said, really shaped my perspective of kind of growing up in the county and the city of St. Louis, just kind of seeing the blend of the styles too.
Yeah, I went to a Jewish day school growing up through fourth grade. And then when I went to public school in fifth grade, man, that different. Was the best. Well, it was different. And I don't think I'd ever met a person of color. You know, obviously there's not many Jewish, you know, people of color. We could go down that rabbit hole lately, what's been going on with Kyrie. But anyways, it was literally life-altering experience. And it happened at a good time because, I've talked about this a lot, but I've had six dads. Two of them have unalived themselves on social media all the time. I said unalived. Two of them have committed suicide. And so it came during one of those times when, you know, my father took his own life. And so it was just like a light went on, you know, just about, you know, so much more is out there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you were influenced by the murder of Michael Brown. And so was that while you were at Missouri?
Yes, I was a senior in college.
And so did you pivot right after that? And you're like, fuck the dumb shit. Like, I can't be doing this bullshit. because that's what happened with me with this podcast. Like, I was just talking about stuff that's irrelevant an hour later. I was like, man, I just can't do it anymore. Like, this show has to be more about being a bridge, being an ally, about educating, about mobilizing. Yep. And so is that sort of what happened with you? You're like, okay, that light just went on.
No, so it was a collection of things. And really it was fortunate timing to an unfortunate event, right? And so at the time, I was done competing. So I ran track at Mizzou as a walk-on my freshman year. I actually left the team after my freshman year. And instead of carrying through to continue my eligibility, I started working in athletics. I thought about transferring, but I didn't really want to leave the school. And really the backstory to that is preferred walk-on, wasn't going to kind of get on scholarship for the next year. I'm moving off campus. I need to pay rent. You know, there's a new crop of recruits coming in. I kind of just was like, you know what? I'm healthy. I enjoy the sport. Track and field is also one of those sports that you don't necessarily have to be on a team to compete. So you can always compete on the attached and all those things, right? And I actually did a little bit of that too when I left, but I was like, you know what, let me step away and kind of see what else I can kind of mold myself into. And so I started working in athletics and working in sport right after. And so leading up to my senior year, I worked parking lot, and I did a little bit of ushering for football. I ended up working as a marketing intern for the volleyball team in Mizzou. Then I started working in the ticket office as well. And I was helping a school called Stevens College. It's an NAIA all women's college about 5 minutes down the street from Mizzou, helping their sport information director kind of do, spotting games as far as stats, wrote a handful of stories and things like that. So I was getting a lot of experience, and I really, really enjoyed that. My senior year gets here, and this is the summer. Well, spring, I get accepted into this program called the McNair Scholars Program, which is a federally funded grant program that hopes to increase the socioeconomic and racial and ethnic diversity within higher education, specifically with like professors and teachers and lecturers, et cetera, right? And so you put in an application, basically show that you have an interest in research, and they pair you with a faculty advisor to teach you how to research, essentially, right? And they pay you to research, and they give you prep to take the GRE or go to grad school or write letters to kind of get into PhD programs, all the things. And so fast forward all that, okay, I really have an interest in sport. I know I want to do some of the athletics, don't know exactly what. At the time, I got accepted to McNair, and I didn't know what I wanted to study. I knew I wanted to study something in sport, of course. And I was kind of tracking down this area of like diversity in sport, but I didn't know exactly how that fit. And Michael Brown, unfortunately, you know, gets killed. And this is about a week or so before classes start. And I'm seeing all this stuff unfold in real time, where I have friends who are from St. Louis, similar to myself, you know, who are starting to get really, really active and kind of advocating and protesting, really trying to galvanize a lot of the student body. So I'm seeing that piece. I'm seeing former teammates and friends, et cetera, who are athletes at Mizzou and other schools start to talk about it. And it was pretty apparent that they didn't feel like they either had support or just didn't feel like people were really understanding or noticing what they were going through. And on top of that, I was really seeing, like, I obviously dealing with my own thoughts and feelings and perspectives and things that were happening too. And I'm like, man, I don't know what really is going on, but I kind of need to pay attention to all this stuff that's going on, right? And slowly throughout that first semester of my senior year of college, so August to December, et cetera, I would start seeing things and start seeing signs that really said, you know what, you need to pay attention and, like, really, really try to put this stuff together for yourself, right? So I would go to protests, and I would have friends who were organized, who were speaking on a, you know, microphone, speakers who were asking administration for resources, all these things. I would see athletes come, and they would hide in the back. They would put their hood on, try to be inconspicuous, all the things. And I'm like, something's there. I don't know what, but something's there, right? In addition to then, found out about UCF and TIES, the Institute for Diversity, Ethics, and Sport, the Racial Gender Report Card, all these things, I'm finding out in real time. And I'm like, I want to study that. And so I'm like, I want to study these things. I have this experience as an athlete. I have friends, and I have my own general thoughts, opinions, perspectives around activism, allyship, social justice, et cetera. And like I said, all this is literally falling into place, like, as I'm traveling through my first semester of my senior year. I'm like, man, there's a lot here that I just really want to be involved in and learn. And then the last thing was, I love my alma mater with all my heart. They botched it. They were not ready for it. And you could see the real life consequences and the real time things of students leaving and transferring, of, you know, friends essentially breaking apart because they didn't know how to talk about this and had different opinions. Professors getting in hot water because they didn't know how to talk about it in class. You would see a lot of the tension that was boiling over in sport and athletics, right? So all of the things that were happening specifically with the strike in Mizzou with the football players in fall of 2015, all that boils over from a year prior, where there were guys from football, track, basketball, et cetera, who were going to these protests and wanting to be involved and not feeling like they had an avenue to do so, right? And so all these things are happening in real time. It's just like, again, I'm like, I got to pay attention to this. Like, something is, I don't know what's being told to me or how it's being unfolded, but it's definitely something that things are going off, right? And so, you know, since then, it's really just been one light bulb after another, one revelation after another, whatever term you want to use. And we could talk more about kind of what those have been, but that was really kind of the flickering of the light bulb for me that says, hey, you want to pay attention to this stuff, right? And originally at that time, I wanted to do stuff in athletics. I thought I was going to go do a little bit of work in athletics. I thought I was going to end up going to get a PhD eventually. I still want to, but I thought this is research. Like, you're going to have to research this stuff. That's how you stay involved. That's how you get invested. That's how you make a difference. Because my job did not exist when I was coming out of school. It just didn't. Or it did, but I didn't know about it.
There weren't as many receipts.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So.
Wow, that's fascinating. I always have a lot of things going through my head when people respond. And so this was no different. And let me ask you, you mentioned TIDES. And for those of you that don't know who Dr. Richard Lapchick is, Dr. Richard Lapchick, if you don't want to watch the podcast and you just want to know about him in a nutshell, where Dewan studied, Dr. Lapchick has been an ally and a bridge and a civil rights activist for a long time. He went to a basketball camp, met Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Somebody called him the N-word. He stepped in. He got dropped. But he and Kareem established a relationship, and they've been friends ever since. And as a side note, Dr. Lapchick's father coached in the NBA and signed the first ever African-American in the history of the NBA. And so, you know, Dewan is tied to him. And there's a, you know, there's a movie out. You know, there's the reports that come out every year, the report cards that Dewan talked about. And it's incredibly important in this multi-layered issue to change the narratives from the Rooney Rule to the Bill Russell Rule, you know, to all kinds of different diversity, equity, inclusion, education, because schools are still not prepared like you just talked about. And so to that point, I remember a story that in the mid 90s, Dr. Jonathan Alexander Lowney, who's currently working at North Carolina A&T, and he's a psychology, you know, PhD in psychology. And, you know, diversity training really wasn't a thing back then. Like it was, but, you know, we were just probably ahead of the curve at a PWI. And so he told this story where he got in an airplane. He's African-American. And out of the cockpit comes a Hispanic gentleman. And in his head, he said to himself, oh, hell no. I know that motherfucker ain't flying this plane. Now, he didn't say that out loud. But as a person of color, that's what he thought. And so we all, for whatever reason, you know, have these thoughts. And you know, it's really about having thoughtful dialogue and discourse so that we can get to a higher level intellectually, nuance wise, because a lot of this stuff is nuances. And I see it as an influencer online constantly. As a Jewish person, I just posted something and this guy said, you should go talk to a Jewish person and ask, you know, about Kyrie. And I just wanted to cuss him out and be like, motherfucker, I am Jewish. What the fuck are you talking about? How many black people have you spoken to in the last 3 years since George Floyd? And, you know, so there's a little bit of pushback, but, you know, sometimes I get triggered because, you know, I want to be thoughtful in terms of educating and mobilizing because it's, you know, I can't imagine being a person of color because of not only generational trauma and the trigger level must have just a heightened level of sensitivity to it. And I just can't even imagine it because I get hot real quick about certain things, about people that are just flat out ignorant or in denial about stuff. And one guy yesterday was like, yeah, well, we'll take care of, you know, the people of color in jail with the Aryan Nation. You know, like that's the stuff that comes out now since 2016.
Right.
Not to go too far sideways, but you know, these are the things that we all have to push back against and educate people about so we can all be better allies.
Right.
And so to that story about the pilot, you know, what talk about, you know, what you learned from Dr. Lapchick. So and how you incorporate those teachings now to thoughtfully bridge the gap between Black and white America.
That's a loaded question. I think the first thing I learned, it might be a little cliche. The first and main thing I really learned from Dr. Lapchick was audacity. He was the first person that I knew at that age with that influence, with that power, who was not scared to say anything, right?
And he's white, just so everybody knows.
Yes.
Very, very white.
Yes. At the time, he's a little older now, but when I was working and studying under him, 67, 66, whatever age, 67-year-old white guy who has ties to the NBA, father was an NBA coach. Play collegiately. I think at the time that was like maybe JV or something like that, but play collegiately at St. John's. And he was that guy that would walk in a room with a Roger Goodell, Adam Silver, Don Garber, whoever it was, and be like, y'all are not doing this well. What are you going to do about it? And we'll sit there with a great face. Right. So the first thing I really learned about him was really the audacity to even start the conversation or to even call something out. And there are times where we would be in class where, he didn't necessarily give or clarify his opinion because we all kind of knew where he stood, but he really cultivated, or at least tried his best to cultivate a space. And that's something that I still try to take with me today. And I still use to this day as well, is what does it look like to really be this brave person and say, you know what, this thing is in everybody's mind. Let's talk about it. Let's get to a solution in regards to what it looks like and why. And so that's probably the first thing. I would say the second thing too is, I really learned the power of storytelling from Dr. Lapchick. Others too, but that he was one that really, really understands how to use it and can get people to really galvanize around the topic because of the way that he uses it and the way that he tells his own stories and the way that he tells other people's stories. And so he would tell us a example or a story. He would tell us a story specifically about how the reason that he got into social justice in the first place. He would say things and recite the story of his father kind of telling, or his father signing the first Black player in the NBA. And he was like, yeah, I'm a 6-year-old kid and I look outside my window, and there's a paper mache person hanging off our tree.
Right.
And like, what, like, as a 6-year-old, what does that do to you? And how does that really sit and stay with you to eventually get into this type of work? And so those two things, exactly. And those are the things that really, really have always stuck with me with Dr. Lapchick, and that he's used to really, like I said, really get me to kind of participate in his work and try to add to it.
And the phone calls that people would call be death going threats. In on his dad, and then he would be listening.
Yes, all these things, right? And I would say, like I said, for really with my time with Dr. Lapchick, that the audacity to start the conversation and the power of storytelling have been two things that have really resonated with me and I've tried to carry through. And in regards to bridging this gap between Black and White Americans specifically, I think a lot of it is still awareness. I wish we weren't at that point, but I really think that's kind of where we are. I still think if you ask the average Black and or White American today, they still don't really cross over cultural lines that have a deep connection to other races. What I always think about is, whether it's in my work, whether it's in a workshop, whether it's just getting to know people, right, is, you know, I often have the opportunity to give them a real life example and manifestation of what cultural difference and cultural connection can look like. And so I try to operate in that lens. Is the burden on me to do that? No, but that's something I take on because I think it's important. And I also think it's, for me, it's a lot easier to have a conversation with someone who might have a different thought, perspective, opinion, if I feel like we have that type of connection. And so I try to do that work early to say, hey, I'm going to get to know Michael and really understand where he comes from, really try to show more of who Duane is so that if something were to happen or a perspective or a thought to share, I can say, Michael, no, we got to talk about that, bro. Like, that's not it, right? And here's why, or here's what this perspective is. Can that get tiring? Absolutely, like extremely, right? But that's at least my individual approach to it. Does it work for everybody? No, but then again, also, I know what works at least best for me. And so that's the lens and the operation in regards to how I try to take it.
Yeah, man, it must have been mind-blowing. The difference between it, getting yourself educated about Dr. Lapchick, you know, through writings or phone calls, et cetera, and then actually being in his space, mm-hmm. and like you said, hearing these stories and like maybe never ever seeing a white person with this type of impact, you know, in this space, because typically it's people of color, and it's really a white issue, so it really should be more white people educating themselves, because it's not Black people's responsibility to teach white people about the two different narratives in this country. So that must have been an incredible experience. And to go, you know, and the other thing is, I thought about like you following your authentic self and just following your inner voice and to see where it's led from, you know, helping in the SID's office to tickets and working with Dr. Lapchick. Like to work in, you know, sort of side by side with Deion Sanders now, like, man, it must be a whirlwind just to like think about, you know, where you were and it just how time flies. And, you know, obviously Deion's in the news now and I can't even remember why, like I told you, you know, in some of our previous conversations, you know, I came across your name, but, you know, this is a space that's always been interesting to me since that story I shared with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, being from Detroit and always driving kids home and my mom always took everybody in. And it's just we were integrated like in fifth grade. Like I never thought anything of it.
Right.
And it's, you know, like I said, since in the intro, like since 2016, you know, people have come out of their rabbit holes. But one of the things I thought about was, do you typically deal with athletics or do you educate like professor? Like, do professors ever come to you and say, you know, I need to do a better job in my classrooms. You know, can you help educate me on some of the nuances? Because I'm really ignorant in this space.
I actually have not had that happen. I have had professors, administrators who've asked me to do it with their classes, but not from a professor directly to say, hey, I need help in this in this specific area. I would like for that to happen because for me,
departmentally,
or individually, because I think it shows a level of awareness that a lot of people don't want to acknowledge. So I would appreciate that happen, but it hasn't happened, not individually anyway, or from one specific department. But I have had, like I say, individual professors and departments say, "Hey, can you do this with our students that we serve, or we have this program coming in? Can you speak with them, et cetera?" And I tend to enjoy that too because it gives the opportunity to kind of infuse it into those young minds that are still impressionable and still, you know, have an opportunity to really learn and understand the world in a different way because they're still coming up in it.
So when you deal with student athletes, what are typically the things, the challenges that you face that you help put better tools in their toolbox with?
Yeah. So it depends on it depends on kind of what is needed, of course, but the basic starting point, if you will, is really getting them to understand what diversity, equity, and inclusion means. Especially with the student athletes of today, a lot of them already have some type of idea or have already had instances where it's been apparent that it exists. And so it's easier to recall examples to really talk about, but it's really teaching the nuance and the difference of what the three are and how they kind of intersect and how they might play into somebody's experience, right? And so
hold that thought for a second. So nuance is important, right? Because as I gave you that example earlier about this guy that is pushing back on some of my comments with regards to a post that I made about Kyrie and how he's donated $320,000 in the last 2 weeks. And he's like, "Yeah, well, he didn't apologize for his initial situation." I'm like, "You mean the situation where he was treated like a slave? You mean that situation?" So I said, "Clearly you don't understand nuance."
Yeah.
And so anyways, you know, those types of things, I don't think people really have a grasp on.
Yeah.
So, you know, give people an idea of what kind of example you're, you know, for example, talking about. What is a nuance? You know, like one of the obvious ones is if you're talking to a white person and they say, "Wow, you're so articulate."
Right.
Like, right. That's one of the ones that most white people should know at this point. You know, it's like, not that you explained a point so articulately, but "you're so articulate" as if a person of color couldn't be articulate.
Right.
You know, so that's like one example. But what are some of the things that you typically face, you know, that you notice that you're like, "Hey, you know, you need to be a little bit more mindful of these types of things"?
Yeah. So when it comes to mind immediately is I do this activity with the athletes where I'll say a statement and have them essentially respond to it. Right. And two statements I'll use, not exclusively, but I'll use consecutively, I guess is the right term. Where I'll say, "Hey, was your last school a diverse school? Whether it's high school, college, wherever you came from, right?" And you'll get some of them that will say, like, "Oh yeah, it was, because, you know, I grew up in LA, so, you know, it's very diverse racially," or "I went to public school, you know, so it was very diverse as far as racially, ethnically." You'll get others who'll say, "It wasn't, because I went to all boys school, all girls school, a private school, et cetera," right? And so they will get the nuance of, well, not, well, I guess they would get the difference of, right, just what basic diversity is, right? And so I follow up and say, "Was your last school an inclusive school?" And most people wouldn't be able to really understand or tell the difference. And some you'll get it, others you won't. And then we'll kind of have more of a conversation around, okay, what is the difference? Because most people tie them together and they're not the same. They might be related, but they're not the exact same, right? And so we'll give examples of, like, "Hey, if your last school that you went to, you know, had all these different people, that's great. But if they're not integrated, or they're not mixing and mingling, or if they're not together, or they don't do anything, it's all separate. That's not inclusive. That's segmented, right? That's segregated. That's a difference. Like, the diversity can be present, but that doesn't mean that people are actually, you know, connecting, integrating, really being one with one another. That's not really inclusive, right?" And so that's one example that we typically use, just to kind of understand what the nuance is. We'll use different examples too, specifically around similar to what you just mentioned, as far as just different phrases and terms that can be seen as not inclusive or exclusive, if you will, or just have some nuance in regards to stereotypes, bias, all these things. So we use some of them too, but usually that's the baseline that we'll try to start at to kind of set that foundation of, hey, there's an actual difference between these two phrases that everybody uses as the same.
Ask you about mental health, because you know, I think obviously it's been more, you know, at the forefront at every level.
Yeah.
And so do you cross over there in any way?
More so in collaboration, not necessarily from a
collaborating out.
Yeah, yeah, not necessarily from a programmer perspective, but we have
because somebody might be more comfortable coming and talking to you than, you know, somebody in the mental health space. You know, let's just be real. It could be a white person. And yeah, they relate to you and they're like, man, this guy, you know, understands me. I need to go talk to him. Like, I'm not feeling it. And, you know, because the pressures, like, it's just a lot of pressure at a Power Five.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And so a lot of the ways that I'll try to collaborate or just try to be mindful is I'll know basic things, right? So if somebody's exhibiting a specific behavior, I know at least the basic things that I should do. And then I collaborate with we have a psychological health and performance department that has 5 clinicians. And so I know all of them like the back of my hand, and we actually share a staff member too. And so we have a nice little setup to where we're already talking in regards to what the work looks like and how to support one another. And so the best way that I usually am a part of it is just knowing what the resources are so I can immediately direct our athletes to them. But I've had instances where, not necessarily in Colorado, but in some of the previous roles and places I've been, I've had instances where I've been talking to athletes and they're like, yeah, I'm struggling. Or, yeah, I tried to do this the other day. I'm like, all right, well, thanks for sharing. I'm not really equipped to talk about this, but so-and-so, you know, in this department is really, really good. And I trust them. You want to go over there. They're like, yep, let's go. And so we'll walk over there and go talk to the individual and make sure that the student athlete is getting the resources they need to essentially, you know, start to feel like themselves again. And so definitely have been some instances and some situations where if I didn't have a relationship, it would have been very telling and it would have been very apparent. But I try my best to make sure that I have the relationships and have the, you know, have the link necessary that if something were to pop up, that the athlete might trust me to be able to refer them to somebody. And now I have a good relationship with that athlete and I have a better relationship with that clinician too, because I was able to, you know, help provide them with someone who could use their services, who might've not been connected with them in the first place.
Well, especially in the Black and Brown community, right? Because there is still that stigma and probably will be for, you know, a number of years going forward until we continue to hear the stories and the testimonials from professional athletes in particular in Hollywood. Yep. You know, Will Smith has, you know, come out and talked about how he just broke.
Yeah.
You know, and others are trying to find their truth, like Kyrie. And, you know, he made a mistake on the initial part, but, you know, on the back end, he didn't, and he doesn't have anything to apologize for. And I will continue to talk about that just as much as I'll talk about in a minute with you about the white influencers, especially in the NFL, who aren't doing enough. But I'm going to table that for a second. And I want to ask you a question. Obviously, I want to ask you about the buzz around Colorado because of Deion. And how things have sort of shifted and everyone's sort of got to elevate their game now.
Yep.
But, you know, we know the obvious things that happen with Colin Kaepernick, how he's been blackballed and whiteballed by the NFL. But there's been, from my perspective, and a number of people have agreed, you could disagree, more white influencers like Dr. Labchik, who have at least been more vocal. Whether it's Popovich in the NBA or Steve Kerr, you know, people that have just, you know, JJ Redick, not as many in the NFL, which is one of my points of sources of contention. But do you think, and I thought about this, I don't know if I'm way off base, but, you know, obviously George Floyd changed the perspective, as Dr. Labchik calls it, a racial reckoning, you know, in 2020. But do you think Deion and what he's doing, and Colorado is very unique. They've hired 3 consecutive African-American football coaches.
Yep.
But do you think that Deion, in a different way, is getting white people to see Black America in a way where they may either let their guard down or want to be more educated, or am I way off base there? Because I think that he's, you know, able to cross some lines because of his entire past.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, to me, it's exciting. I mean, I'm a Michigan fan, but I mean, I'm rooting for Deion. I'll be honest with you, because, you know, like I said, there's a lot of layers, right? But his success matters for the next person. Your success matters for the next person. And as fair or unfair as that is, you know, we're still living in a white world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what not only what is the buzz like, man, I can't, you know, all his videos, you know, the way he's approaching, you know, the videography and going to restaurants and, you know, just the buzz in the department and how you've elevated your game and how maybe you've got, you know, this newfound excitement to be a part of, you know, the team there. But, you know, am I off base with that other, you know, component that I mentioned, that, you know, he's able to, not even intentionally, unintentionally, able to bring people together?
Yeah. I think I have a mixed answer. I think because of who he is personally, his career, his past, his persona, he's going to make people interested because of who he personally is. He's creating cultural interest. That's a fact.
Making white people more conscious and deliberate on a daily basis to be more anti-racist. He's not necessarily doing that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
And I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think that isn't where it is yet.
Yeah.
I do think there have been glimpses of things, like if you watch his opening press conference, he says, well, you know, I'm the only African American to be hired after one was fired in the entire cycle this year, right? Or even mention it, like, hey, you know, AD Rick George, you know, you're the first to hire three consecutive. Like, I understand and I appreciate that. So there are instances where someone could lean in and say, huh, I didn't know that. Let me learn more about that, right? So I do think that he does a good job of inserting it in.
You know, what I think went under the radar is the video at Jackson State at his last game with the white player who was crying. You know, I think people have this image that everybody that plays at an HBC is black, and he's consoling this white guy. And I just thought that was, people haven't talked enough about that to me. I think that was not only from an athletic perspective so powerful, but what he said and the black and white interaction, I just thought that was really powerful. But anyways, go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. Yeah, I think there are instances where he definitely adds it in, and it can pique some interest for sure. And so that's something that I hope continues. And as we continue to have more conversations, I hope that he does a little bit more of, just to be candid. I'm hoping we'll get there one day. But again, I do think, just based on his persona and who he is and his personal background, perspective, his influence, that he's going to invite people to be interested, to have the conversations that need to be had. And I'm hoping that we can continue to leverage that, just based on who he is and some of his own personal interests as well. Because even in my brief conversations with him, that's something that he has an interest in doing, is continue to kind of influence people to have the conversations again that really need to be had.
How many more ticket requests have you gotten from your family members since Deion was hired?
It's hard to say. It definitely has been a lot. Even coming home for the holidays, people are like, what school do you work at again? I'm like, well, I work in Colorado. They're like, oh, that's where Deion just went. Oh, you know, I got to go. Like, yeah, I understand. But you talk about buzz. We've had, I'm gonna shout out our external team too, because my office is next door to theirs. And so I've seen the difference over the past month. In the past month, we've had six of our top 10 in the past 10 years, merchandise sales day, have been in the past month. Just and I like talking to them, and I'm like, are y'all okay? Are y'all doing better? They're like, look, we're happy we're getting this value, but it's just, it's nothing like, you know, we've seen, right? It's just vastly different in regards to just what it, just kind of keeping up with it and being able to kind of sustain it too. So yeah, the buzz has been unbelievable, and he definitely is, I would say, probably the most popular person in the state right now, for sure. I would venture to say in college football, but there are a few other people who can kind of take that mantle today. But definitely within the state of Colorado, within the university, he's definitely the most popular man, easily. And he's definitely doing everything he can to kind of sustain it and make sure that he's trying to get the roster to what he deems to be, you know, acceptable.
Oh, he will. You know, and you mentioned that he's the most popular person in the state. And, you know, there's not many people nationwide, you know, at any level, whether you're talking about Nick Saban, and everywhere he goes, right? Like, even if he attends a basketball game, like the cameras are going to be on him as much as the game. Oh, man, that's incredible. That's exciting, man. And I'm sure it spills over to the other sports, too. Like, the visibility and the NIL deals, and holy moly. Man, Absolutely. what a place to be a part of. Oh man. All right, let's get to the rapid fire. I know you got to get going. Fascinating conversation, man. We'll, you know, definitely stay in touch and maybe have you back. And when you guys win a national championship there and you get your
Man, I
ring,
hope so. I hope so.
Come like this, like
I
on the
hope
show, be
so.
like, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
Wait, so have you been to an Avalanche game or Rockies game, Nuggets or Broncos? Like, have you been to all of them or?
I haven't been to any yet.
Wow.
Yeah. But part of that too is, so my daughter came here a few minutes ago. I have a 1 year old. So me and my wife moved to Colorado in May of 2021. At the time she was pregnant and we had our baby in October of 2021. So the past, really the whole time I've been here has been, you know, helping take care of my wife and make sure that she's good, but also helping baby get situated, get in the daycare, you know, trying to split between home and office, all those things. So we haven't had a lot of time to really venture out, but now that she's in the daycare and now that my wife is back and kind of in the work swing and things like that, we'll take some more time to really try to explore a little bit more and hopefully get to a few of those games and see those things.
Man, shout out to the wife.
Yes, absolutely.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. My saving grace.
What a whirlwind of a year, year and a half. Holy moly. Wow.
Man. It's
God.
Yeah.
That's like a continuous high. Like, yes, you must wake up every day like bouncing out of bed. Recharging your batteries is tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So
are you a St. Louis Cardinals fan?
Absolutely.
Who's your favorite Cardinal of all time?
Oh, Ozzie Smith.
Yeah, Ozzie Smith.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Most people would say Pujols. You might get a few David Freese, but no, it's still the Wizard.
Wow. That's interesting because, you know, you're sort of in between it, but you're more of a younger, you know, like you're a cusper. So that's interesting.
Yep.
And for
yep.
the record, you know, I'm a Tigers fan, right? I'm from Detroit, as I mentioned earlier. But St. Louis baseball fans might be the most intelligent of all sport fans of any sport in the United States. I mean, they understand nuance. Like
they do.
Man, they're so smart.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's real. Do you have a favorite athlete? Go ahead.
I might. No, it's still.
Besides the Colorado college football fans, of course, but you know.
I think actually, no, I'm gonna stay with Ozzie. I would say a close second probably would be Kurt Flood too, though.
Yeah.
Mainly from a free agency standpoint, but.
But do you have a favorite athlete of all time of any sport?
I do. Actually, I'll give you three. And it's kind of funny because Deion was one of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what he said when the draft was going on?
What did he say?
He said, I hope the Detroit Lions don't draft me. And this hurt really bad because I'm a Lions fan. I hope the Lions don't draft me because I'm going to ask for so much money. They're going to have to put me in layaway.
I do know that when he was getting ready to get drafted, he was intentionally telling teams he wasn't going to play. He was going to play baseball because he wanted to go to Atlanta at the fifth. I do know that. I know that full story. But
now and I saw that video about how he saw black nurses and doctors during his trip there.
Yeah.
And that he was like, I got to be in Atlanta, man. I'm not going somewhere else. So representation does matter. And I talked about
it.
That
does. It absolutely does.
So Deion's in your top three. Who are the other two?
Yeah. I played cornerback in high school and I wore 12 because my high school didn't have number 21. So
wow.
That was part of, but anyway,
flipped
Brian.
It, yeah.
Yes, I flipped. Brian is one for sure. And I would also say historically, I'm going to go with Serena.
Wow. I thought you were going to say Muhammad Ali. Interesting.
Ali actually, it's hard to boil to three. And I enjoy Ali for everything he's done historically. Brian is my modern day Ali, but That's a different conversation. So
I'm sure if it was four and five might be the late Bill Russell and Kareem, maybe.
Yeah. And I can build out more and more, right? Like I could throw Tommy Smith and John Carlos in there if I wanted to, right? But it's hard to boil to three. Those are the three I'm gonna say specifically from what they've done in their sport, but also outside of it too. Deion was my number one specific, like football is my favorite sport and I play corner, so it's kind of hard not to Not to
for real,
you know, try to emulate him. So,
man, fascinating stuff, man. So, two famous people went to Missouri, Max Scherzer and John Anderson. There's others. Have you ever met either one?
Neither one. I've never met
either.
Wow.
Interesting. Favorite food at a family barbecue? You're with your family now. Is there a family favorite food that you have there during the holidays?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm probably going for ribs or rib tips.
Ooh, they got to fall off. Like it's like it like melts, and then you got to lick.
And it's also I mean, part of it is St. Louis thing too with the barbecue, but yeah, that's what I'm going for most times.
Nice. Do you have a favorite TV show of all time that you grew up with?
Probably Fresh Prince. Either that or Hey Arnold.
Oh, there you go. I
Yeah,
love that.
those are probably the two.
Popcorn or candy at the movies?
Candy.
Oh, wait, what kind?
I am a Eminem fan.
Wow, peanut or
Yeah. Either or. I like peanut more, but I'll take either or. To the point to where if I go to the store, I'm about 80% of the time I'm buying a bag of M&Ms, like to just like chew, like munch on the way home or whatever.
pancakes, waffles, or French toast?
French toast.
Oh wow. Have you ever had French toast with challah bread?
Not with challah bread, no.
Wow. But you know what challah bread is. You said it like you're like versed on it. That's interesting.
I haven't tried it, but
Yeah,
I'll have to add that to my list.
you gotta add it to your list because of the thickness of that Jewish bread, man. It's a whole different experience.
I'm gonna add that to my list.
Okay, a couple more. Best mama joke. Your mom is so dumb that she put a bag over her computer in case it crashed. Or your mom is so fat she had to iron her pants in the driveway.
Probably gonna go with the bad one. I'm
All
probably gonna go with the bad one.
right. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? In the same space, or would you ever consider coaching?
Not coaching.
No.
I coached for like a hot second in undergrad. I was coaching the jumps for a club track team when I was finishing up, and that was really fun, but not something I would do full time. But definitely same space. You mentioned earlier, kind of like the adjunct and the teaching piece. I've always
Right.
wanted to teach, not necessarily tenure. I don't kind of want to just teach, but would love to kind of teach something on the side or teach one or two classes. I would say doing a little bit more speaking too.
Yeah, that would be amazing. If Steph Curry wins another ring with the roster that he has, would you put him ahead of Kobe or LeBron?
I will put him in front of Kobe, but not LeBron.
You don't have a LeBron ahead of MJ, do you?
I do, but I wouldn't argue
Wow.
somebody wouldn't.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was gonna say I think it's
Big picture.
I think if he wins one more, it's undisputed. But right now, it's to me it's big picture, right? It's hard to argue the stats, it's hard to argue the longevity. He's gonna finish, unless he gets hurt, he's gonna finish with the most points all time and top 10 and rebounds and assists. It to me it's just hard. I get the whole he hasn't won every finals trip, but it's nine straight finals. It's hard, man. It's hard, and
Is.
it's also hard because the MJ I remember is the Wizards MJ.
Okay, well, so that's different, yeah, for sure.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I saw glimpses of. I was born in '93, so I saw
Yeah.
glimpses of peak MJ, but not. Yeah.
Yeah, he evolved, so I appreciated how he evolved. Okay, so last question. So if you could have any five people at your dinner table, past or present, dead or alive, but you've never met them before, who would be at your dinner table?
I'm going Jesus of Nazareth. I'm going Ali.
Yeah. Would you like to have like an Elon Musk at the table, or is that
No,
not at all?
I can everything I would need to want to know about Elon, I can find via Twitter.
Okay, so while you're thinking about that, let me pose this part because it's important to me because you're a football guy, you understand nuance, you're in this space.
I do.
And I've been hypercritical of the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, the Eli Mannings, the Peyton Mannings, the Troy Aikmans, the Tony Romos, and there are others. Basically, the white influencers in the most popular sport.
Yep.
And I can't, for the life of me, besides the fact that you had a MAGA hat in your locker a few years ago, understand why. Forget the NFL and the commissioner because he answers to the owners. But are the Do the white influencers that I just mentioned have a greater responsibility to speak out more about the Colin Kaepernicks and the murders that continue to happen in society that are disproportionate to the black and brown community? Or, they don't have to do anything and you don't care? Because it drives me up the fucking wall that they don't say more.
My answer is do they have that responsibility? No. They should, but they don't. that's my short answer. I also operate in the thought process of we're all interconnected in some way. And so it would be nice for them to kind of take that onus. But until you make it apparent to people or until you acknowledge that link, they're not going to think as such that we're connected. Right. And so I would love if they did take that onus and have more of those conversations. But the reality is they don't have to because people aren't the masses, not people. The masses aren't asking them to.
Yeah, that's true. Well, shout out to, like I said, Steve Kerr, Popovich, J.J. Redick, and Rex Chapman in particular. Yep. All right, who else at the dinner table?
Harriet Tubman, Michael Jackson.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I'm probably going...
Not Malcolm or MLK, huh?
I thought about MLK.
How about Joe Rogan?
No, not Joe Rogan either. Everything I would want to know, I can find on the internet. I'm going to do a wild card here. I'm probably going to add Maverick Carter.
I don't know who that is.
Maverick Carter is LeBron's right-hand man.
Wow.
He played high school basketball with LeBron. He's the one that runs, what's LeBron's studio name?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name right now, but he's the one that is typically on camera doing the interviews. He's usually at the shop in the chair.
Interesting. Wow.
But he's not his agent because that's Rich Paul, but he's more of a, I guess, more of a business manager, if you will.
Wow.
But he's the one that you've seen dozens of athletes put their friends in charge of their business ventures and it hasn't worked.
Facts. That part.
Maverick Carter has worked. And I am fascinated to understand why he worked and why that worked when for hundreds of others it has not.
Wow, that's fascinating. What a great answer. And these are the spaces, those are the kinds of stories that, you know, I'm fascinated by also. We plan on having Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf on the show, Jocelyn Rose Lyons, who's directing Stand, which will come out in 2023, that talks about Mahmoud's whiteballing by the NBA and David Stern.
Yep.
So, you know, we need to have these conversations continue. Man, what a fascinating conversation with the kiddo and the family there with you, and you finding the time to spend time with us. Shout out to Dr. Labchick. Shout out to Dion and all the Buffalo fans. Go Colorado as long as you're not playing Michigan in the national championship game, man. Like, for real. I mean, it would be good for so many reasons. Good for football. I'm tired of hearing about the talk about Dion, you know, leaving HBCs. It's an asinine, you know, just whole premise in my mind, what he did to bring exposure there and what he's doing to bring exposure to college football. And to Colorado, he could have waited. You know, he didn't get the job at Florida State. He should have, because of, you know, some false narrative. And so it, in my eyes, it's all freaking good, man. And for you to be a part of that, props to you. And fascinating stuff, man, from ticket taker to the SID's office to what you're doing now. And, you know, you'll continue to leverage that as you should, to, you know, be a part of something bigger than yourself. To educate people in a way that, especially white people need to be educated. So flowers to you, man. Shout out. Happy New Year to you and the missus and the kiddo and the family. And let's stay in touch. Much love to you. And appreciate you so much coming into the Sports Daily Podcast as our last guest of season 3. And the floor is yours. Anything else that you want to share with people about, you know, how to find out more about Colorado, you know, athletics, or just any message that you want to get out there to the masses? We've been in almost 40 countries. We've shared a lot of information with people. We're humbled by it all, but it's just about being a bridge and being an ally and mobilizing to make this place a better place and putting better tools in people's toolboxes.
Yeah. I appreciate, reaching out and wanting to connect and, definitely appreciate you having me on the Sports Daily Podcast. I'm going to leave 3 things. They're all going to be advertising. So I apologize, but
no, it's all good, man.
If you want to learn more about me, you can follow me at Dewan B. Baker on Twitter. You'll get a lot of texts about just my work, but you'll also get some texts about sports. You might get some sneaker texts in there too.
Holla.
Secondly, if you want to know about what we're doing, you know, with Colorado, you can follow the main page, which is SCU Buffs. If you want to know more about the DEI piece, our tag on Twitter is at Inclusive Buffs, brand new page that was launched last week. And so, we'll add some more content there to make sure that people can kind of see some of the things that we're doing, both, you know, both publicly and kind of behind the scenes too. And then lastly, one of the things you also mentioned, DICE organization that me and a handful of others helped co-founded a few years ago. We really founded it on this premise of, we knew after this racial reckoning of 2020, there were going to be a lot of people kind of tasked with doing this role. And at the time, the community was very small, and we wanted to build an opportunity for people to really have community to understand how this work operates and how to best serve one another. And so we built DICE really in this mindset of, hey, if you're stepping into this job, you now have access to, right now we have 370-ish people who are kind of signed up as members, if you will. You get immediate access to all of them. You can talk to them about the role, talk to them about resources, really understand, you know, some of the things that are necessary to kind of do the job at a high level. So we created DICE to really be a member-serving community. And so if you want to learn more about DICE, you can also follow it at DICE Athletics on Twitter. And so Twitter's our preferred choice of social media. So you can follow all three at those places. And, you know, appreciate everybody listening. And hopefully I was able to kind of provide some insight perspective to hopefully spark a thought or two.
Absolutely. And, you know, the more that multiple layers are involved in this diversity, equity, and inclusion and the extrapolated pieces, you know, that's going to help people have a greater understanding of it, and slowly will chip away and see the narrative bridge that gap, you know, in every aspect, right? Athletics, hiring practices, healthcare, you yep. know, and the list goes on and on. All right. Absolutely. Happy New Year, everybody. Much love, Duan, to you and the wife and the kiddo again. And we'll stay in touch, and good luck. Go Buffs.
Go Buffs. I appreciate it. Thanks, Michael.
All right, man. Talk to you soon, man. All right. Have appreciate it. Bye. Thanks. Hey, everyone. If you're looking for today's outtakes, you've come to the right place. Enjoy. All right. Time to rock and roll, ladies and gentlemen. D-Money.
Michael, how you doing?
All right, man. What's happening?
Doing well.
To see you, bro.
If you hear some stuff behind me, I'm in the house full of kids, so I apologize.
Oh, it's all good, man. We've seen it all in the sports deli, man. Believe that. How's the family? Holiday good?
Yeah, it's holidays going well. We're at my in-law's house. My wife's sister has two toddlers, so.
Oh my God.
For the mall to be around at the same time is pretty rare. So Granny has appreciated it for sure.
Oh yeah, I get a break. That's awesome. So I'm gonna do a formal intro and then we'll chop it up, man. I got some good stuff to talk to you about. And okay. Haven't seen you on many podcasts, so I'm truly humbled and honored, especially anyone associated with Dr. Lapchick is you know, truly humbling to have you in this space.
Appreciate it. Mike, you're a little scrambled on my end. I can hear everything you're saying, but it comes across really statically, if that makes sense.
Sounds perfectly clear here. So okay. As long as unless you want to try and restart it, or are you on a computer or a phone?
I'm on a computer. And like I said, I can hear you, just sounds really scrambled. I would hate to get all the way through and you're like, yeah, my sound is crap. But if it sounds good on your end and you're recording, then I don't.
No, it's solid as rock. Well, it's a little echoey. You want to try and do your phone to see if it's better? Because it doesn't matter to me. Or you want to restart it and try again? It's your call. Because the video on the camera is and I care more about audio than I do video. So the video quality, if I had to choose which one was better, the audio is way better than the video. But, I mean, the video is sort of pixelish, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I edit, so it's all good. Although I do some outtakes at the end.
Yeah, let me try my phone, and
I bet
you'll see me jumping on now.
Yeah, twice. Twin brothers jumping on, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have a twin? I don't think you have a twin.
I don't. All right, I'm going to jump off of the laptop.
All right, bet. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. That was Duan B. Baker from the University of Colorado. And until next time. Oh, man. Good morning, Scotty. We're starting the podcast right now with Duan D. Baker. My dentist told me that I could start coloring my teeth, but I feel like you'd have to maintain that for like the rest of your life. So am I going to do that for like 40, the next 40 years? Are my teeth yellow? I appreciate it. I mean, like if I had really white teeth, wouldn't that be weird? I feel like this is just natural. You know what I'm saying? We're waiting for Dewan B. Baker. Dewan earned his bachelor's from the University of Missouri, where he also participated in track and field in the long jump. And we've had a number of Olympic track and field personalities. It is the lights. Man, I forgot what the hell we were talking about. Can you refresh my memory? Boom. Look at that.
All right.
Oh, that's
yeah,
solid.
Better yeah. on my end.
The tie that's in your profile picture, that is not a Colorado tie. It's like, not. Yeah, I was trying to figure out, and it didn't look like a Nebraska tie either because there was some blue in there.
No, nah, it's
like a wedding.
No, actually, it was I was doing a headshot for this thing called Leadership Lincoln. So it was essentially kind of like a community leadership program. And it was just a regular blue and orange tie.
Solid.
And I liked it. And that was the headshot. That's the headshot I like. And when Colorado got it, they were like, huh, let's change this color a little bit. Cause it looks like real Broncos.
Yeah. Right. Like, I was going to say Broncos or even Syracuse, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah. So they blended the colors, which is fine with me.
Yeah. That's not all right. Let's get ready to rock and roll. So you can get back to the family. Definitely excited, man. Really excited. All right. Talk soon, man. I'll let you know when all the stuff comes out, the teasers and the links, and I'll send them to you. Do whatever you want with it. And anything I can do to help, man, let me know.
I appreciate it. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad I came across, your space. And, man, I told Dr. Lapchick about you coming on. He's like, man, can't say enough about him.
So, I got to reach out to Dr. Lapchick, man. It's been a while since we last talked.
Yeah, he's amazing, man. He came on early on in this reckoning, and then, you know, he responds to every email. Anytime I ever send him something or have a question about anything in this space, I just refer to the expert.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, man, listen to the podcast with Dr. Lapchick. His story is incredible, and his dad was incredible. He's amazing, and anything he touches, is better for it. And the Tides report that you guys all know about, even if you didn't realize it was, directly related to him, he's the one that puts out the report cards, about, where we're going with all the sports and, grading them. And the grades have been pretty good lately.
Yeah. Let's keep improving them.
Let's keep improving them, especially at the collegiate level. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Literally ridiculous. Got work to do. Yeah. All right. Got to go to my game. Got to make sure my daughter doesn't have COVID. She just took a test. She's had a sore throat for a couple of days. So, kids.
All right. I understand. Hoping she gets a negative test.
Yeah. Appreciate it. All right. We'll talk soon, man. Appreciate you, brother. Yeah. All right, man. Late.
Boy, that was phenomenal. Great job and much love to everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us. Remember, Black Lives Matter. Stop the bullying. Stop the Asian hate. Contact your local and state politicians for any inequalities for any individual or any group that's being marginalized. Also, everyone, we want to raise awareness for those individuals that are currently imprisoned for nonviolent offenses, in particular those with long-term sentences that are disproportionate in particular to those people in the Black and Brown community. And I want to send a shout out to 40tons.co. 40 Tons is a socially conscious cannabis brand, and they're a social enterprise using the regulated cannabis industry to fight injustice, in particular for cannabis prisoners. So check them out again at 40, the number 4, the number 0, tons, plural, 40tons.co. Because what they're doing in the cannabis space and being a socially conscious company is truly incredible, and they have my full support. And also wanted to remind all of you, if you're having a tough time, You can always call the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and that number is 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. And now you can call 988. That's it. All you got to do is dial 988 from any phone. And they are available 24/7, 365 days a year. And if you want to follow me on social media or check out other episodes of this amazing Sports Deli podcast or any of my other podcasts, go to my Linktree at linktree.com/Mike Hootner. And if you'd like to support us at the Sports Deli, we'd love to have you either make a one-time donation or feel free to make a donation monthly, either 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. If you have questions about that, send me an email again to thesportsdeli@gmail.com, and I will send you the link on how you can do that. You can also find it at the bottom of every podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. There's a link at the bottom to support the show. Please check out our website at thesportsdelipodcast.com. Make sure that we continue the conversations with regards to three strikes and you're out and mandatory minimums, especially people that are in jail for nonviolent offenses. So those things need to change. And remember, gents and ladies, please remember to do your monthly self-breast examinations. And remember, guys, this afflicts about 1,500 men annually, with about a third of those resulting in death. So we want to make sure that we do our monthly self-breast examinations, both men and women. And guys, remember to do your self-testicular examinations every month as well. Until next time, remember, it takes a village. I'm Hootie Hoot. This has been a production of Hootie Hoot Productions. Thank you for joining us in the Sports Deli, where everyone deserves a seat at the table. Remember, it takes a village. Much love, everybody.